Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And today we've got not a whole lot of news, but some DC stuff, which is kind of interesting. Before we get into that, have you seen anything good this week?
Yeah, the season finale of Invincible.
Oh. I hear they were just renewed for two more seasons.
Yeah, it's like...
But they, they probably already had one more season on the way, right?
They probably like had two already, but like the fact that they've been greenlit for three kind of, you know, shows that people were really, you know, were really taken aback by this. They really responded to it well, and it's really good. And, you know, it's another one of these, you know, it's in the vein of this, you know, the deconstruction of a superhero type of deal, but it's also a mixture of a lot of things, right? Like, it has the whole, we're going to deconstruct our heroes angle to it, but also the Spider-Man angle to it, because there's a teen superhero, and you're, you know, he's struggling with, like, oh my god, like, you know, I got this date, but I also have to go to Mars thing, or like, you know, like, how am I going to pass high school when I have to, you know, go out and be invincible, like all this other type of stuff. Yeah. And it's just a really interesting show. The voice cast is absolutely stacked. And, you know, J.K. Simmons, like, I don't know if, like, is there an award for recognizing people's performance in animation?
Probably the, what are they called? The Annie Awards. They probably have some. Yeah.
All right. But do any of the major, like, do any of the major awards, like, recognize people, like, voice actors for their contributions or their talents in projects? The answer's
really.
Probably no, isn't it?
I mean, they're eligible for, like, the Oscars and stuff, but they never,
No. Yeah. And that's a shame, because J.K. Simmons legit, like, his Omni-Man, the way he is acting through this it's incredible. Like, it's up there with anybody's, you know, performance that's gone on so far this year. Hmm. To me, it's kind of on par with Catherine Hahn's performance in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Like, it's that good. And unfortunately, it won't get the credit that it deserves or the recognition that it deserves. I don't think this show will either, because it's an animated show. And we all know the pitfalls that come with that, but it's really good. And this is going to force me to, you know, to dig into these comic books, because again, this is something that's always been, like, it's been on my radar, but it was just something that I never got into, of like the independent comics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, cause, like, you know, the choice that I made back in the day, as far as, like, you know, of the independent comics that I was getting into, well, the one that I really dove into was, the Mark Millarverse, and like that's the, you know, independent label, and like that's the you know, the rabbit hole that I went down, not Kirkman stuff, but, you know, it's really good, and I got to give it up to Kirkman, because he, you know, nobody, I don't think, was really expecting this, and it was not on anybody's radar, but it's really, really good, and I'm glad it's here.
I'll definitely have to check it out. You know, haven't gotten around to it yet. I'm still so far behind on a bunch of other stuff, but...
I am too, but, like, this has been, it's been captivating, and it's been part of, like, for the past, you know, 8 weeks, it's been part of my, well, actually 6 weeks or 7 weeks, because they've released the first three episodes on the same day. Mm-hmm. It's been part of my Friday, you know, tradition. Like, my lunch break, I would watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And then that evening I would watch Invincible. That was my Friday routine. That's been my Friday routine.
Yeah.
So, it's been a good, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of television.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's cool. I'll definitely have to check that out. Yeah. I'm still trying to get caught up. You know, like, Without Remorse came out on Friday, and I was trying really hard to finish season two of Jack Ryan before that started, just in case there were any tie-ins. Which I hear, I don't know. It sounds like maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But I did finish Jack Ryan, even though I didn't watch Without Remorse yet. And I have to say that it was pretty good. I don't think it was as good as season one, but it was interesting how it's very similar to Clear and Present Danger in a lot of ways. Okay. It's not like the same story or anything like that, but there's a lot of little elements which they, I think, took from that one and kind of like adapted for this one. To, even though the like the characters are different and everything, it's like there's so many similarities that I feel like it was intentional, you know, to sort of like steal from that. And with Without Remorse being kind of like a prequel to Clear and Present Danger, you know, I'm curious to watch that and then probably revisit Clear and Present Danger just to see, you know, what that's like now. Okay. But Jack Ryan, it's pretty good, you know, and it would be cool if they did tie in Without Remorse and, you know, expanded things going forward, but we shall see.
Okay.
I also read some DC comics this week.
I did too.
Oh yeah, what did you read?
Well, I finally finished all of my huge stack of Future State. Like I got all of them in that month, and I got like a whole bunch of them. I think I got 15 of them.
Yeah.
Because you know that's what
that's
I do.
How it works. Yeah.
Yeah, and then each of them had at least, you know, two or three issues in like during the month, like of their little miniseries. So it's quite a few books to get through. But I finally got through all of it. There are some aspects of it that I liked, that I really liked. And then there's some that I was just like, this is a complete waste of time. So I really like the Superman and War World book. That was really cool. I liked the Batgirls one. The new Batman was all right. The new Justice League was pretty good. I didn't like the Teen Titans one at all. I thought that was just dumb. So yeah, like there's a lot of hit and miss.
Yeah.
A lot of hit and miss.
Well, I'm still way far behind. I'm at the beginning of Rebirth still, of course.
Okay. And
probably will be for a while, but I did read the first Nightwing Rebirth arc where he's like working undercover for the Parliament of Owls.
Okay. Okay.
Right, and I haven't read the Court of Owls thing, which I know everyone says.
Haven't read Court of Owls?
Like, that's like the big comic that came after I stopped reading comics, like the big Batman comic that came after I stopped reading comics that everyone
says. Oh, yeah,
like,
honestly, like, if the new 52 is, like, its existence is justified by the existence of Court of Owls. Like, honestly, if the new 52 didn't start off with that run... Like, I have no idea, like, that it would have just crashed and burned, because honestly, that kind of really saved their bacon for a lot of things. It kept people's interest hyped for it, because that, like, that was, it's one of the best Batman stories in the past 10 years. A lot of the things that have come out since, you know, like, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's either that, or it's just like, why are we going back down this well again? But that was a completely, it was an original idea. It played with the lore in just the right ways. It's a really good story.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll make that my next thing to read.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a lot of DC stuff coming in the near future, and they have a few little odds and ends this week. The first thing is they are bringing back the DC Fandome. Which I guess was kind of a surprise, but at the same time, once San Diego went away, it just sort of made sense that they would do this, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's coming October 16th, so who knows exactly what they'll plan on doing, but I mean, as we can see, there's a lot of DC stuff in the works, so of course, probably new trailer for the Batman, you know, announcements of who knows what else.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to. I mean, there'll probably be more stuff. By October, who knows? They're like, because they started filming on Flash and Batman, so there might be a teaser or something to report about that. Maybe we'll get a trailer for the new season of Titans, which had some news this week. You know, by casting my man Pete Campbell from Mad Men to be the Scarecrow. And there's also, this is supposed to be the season that they'd use Red Hood and Blackfire. So there's a lot of things that they could show for Titans. Maybe something with Black Adam, some Black Adam news.
Yeah. And you got to think too, like the Suicide Squad will have just debuted like a month and a half prior to this, right?
Yeah.
So maybe some Peacemaker stuff.
Likely, you know, likely.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the last fandom quite a bit. I mean, sure, I was locked away like with the rest of the world, you know, and
yeah. See, that's the other aspect of this that like I'm wondering about, because the first DC fandom, it was a you know, a product of the state of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're in the middle of this pandemic and nobody can go to cons, and like there's been virtual cons but nothing like this, and so like the first fandom was like an event because of the state of the world, and there was like headlining event, and that was like the debut and all the news and stuff with, you know, with Wonder Woman and also the you know, the Snyder Cut stuff, right?
And so the Batman.
Yeah. So they had like, there were huge things that like that, you know, and there's a lot of things that had momentum leading into the event and got people really hyped for it. This time around, I wonder if it'll be the same way, and I doubt it will be, because, you know, the world is starting to open back up again. By that point, several small cons will have already taken place, because I know that there's some that are on schedule that are definitely indeed happening. And there have been, you know, hell, there have been cons, small cons happening already where people had to be socially distant and wear masks. I've seen pictures. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, frankly, like, you know, like Suicide Squad, probably like, you know, the next, you know, big film for DC, like would have just came out, so there's like, so it's not like we're gonna get like the trailer for it and be excited about talking about it. It's like, well, the movie already came out, and so it's like it kind of I don't want to say loses steam, but like it's like the amount of stuff to look forward to is different, and I think less than the first one.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way that they can top the last one, but
yeah,
but who knows? I mean, certainly like all of these cons and everything are supposed to build hype for things which are, you know, the next big thing. And, you know, certainly they do have a lot of next big things when you talk about like the Flash movie and everything. I mean, that could be huge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I mean, I will probably end up watching it and everything, just because like when I think about like San Diego, you know, that's Saturday of San Diego, even though I've never been there, like I always sort of like block out that day and follow all the people who are live tweeting it, because you mm-hmm. do get like all these reveals, you know, sort of in
real
time.
Oh yeah, all the secondhand. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, this is kind of that, you know, but mm-hmm. you actually get to see it, which is
cool. Oh yeah, no, like, oh yeah, like don't think for a second that I'm not going to be participating. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all should know me by now.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, I mean, whatever, good for them. It'll be cool. But I kind of feel like this might be also the last DC fandom. So
I agree.
We shall see. But, you know, one of the things that they might be talking about is the new Green Lantern show on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And today, or I'm sorry, this week, it was revealed that the first of many Green Lanterns who will appear on this show was cast. Finn Wittrock will play Guy Gardner.
Okay.
I don't know who Finn Wittrock is. I know mm-hmm. he's been nominated for 2 Emmys. It looks like he's in basically every single Ryan Murphy show.
Yeah.
Because that's what Ryan Murphy does. You know, he just mm-hmm. casts the same people again and again and again.
Well, yeah, like, you know, like, yeah, his best performances were in the Versace show, which was with another Ryan Murphy cast yeah. member, Darren Criss. So, yeah. And well, that guy's just super talented anyway. He's legit dope. So,
yeah. So are you familiar with Wittrock?
Wittrock? No.
No. Okay.
No. All but right. I've seen his face like in stuff, but like, I'm not like, I don't really have an opinion on like his chops or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they did like a whole press release for this, announcing this, and in it they got into a lot more details about what this show is going to be, which mm-hmm. sounds pretty cool. And some of the stuff we've heard before, some of it we haven't, but they say it's going to feature a number of well-known lanterns, including Alan Scott, Simon Baz, Jessica Cruz, Kilowog, and more.
Okay.
And it reinvents the classic DC property through a story spanning decades and galaxies, beginning on Earth in 1941 with the very first Green Lantern, secretly gay FBI agent Alan Scott, and 1984 with cocky alpha male Guy Gardner and half-alien Bree Jarda. They'll be joined by a multitude of lanterns, from comic book favorites to never-before-seen heroes. And, you know, in describing Guy Gardner, they say that he's going to be a hulking mass of masculinity and, as rendered in the comics, an embodiment of 1980s hyper-patriotism. And yet Guy is somehow likable. When you think about Guy Gardner, I mean, he was created in the 80s, and he very much sort of like embodies the 80s. And, you know, they've tried updating him and everything like that. I'm not exactly sure how well that worked out. I remember when he was Warrior in the 90s and everything. That was kind of dumb. But, you know, you go back to like his iconic look with his, you know, motorcycle jacket and his bowl cut and everything like that. That seems perfect that they're going to set his storyline in 1984, right? Instead of like bringing it into the present day and trying to make it fit, which you could do, but just sort of like embracing everything that he was. I mean, we'll get the jacket and stuff, right?
We will. You know what? Maybe this will, like, him being in 1984, this will actually serve a purpose, unlike Wonder Woman 84.
That's true. That's true. And the fact that they're going through, you know, I mean, starting with Alan Scott in the 40s and everything like that, I mean, that's pretty cool. And it sounds like, you know, the modern day lanterns will be the two lanterns from the current comic.
Yeah. Right? So this is, so when initially this came, like the news about this came out, I was not on board. Cause it's like, well, I'm not exactly seeing what's going on here, what their plan is. Reading that synopsis makes me think, I was like, okay, I see what they're going for. So now I'm intrigued. Right now, like now, I'm intrigued with what they're going to do, and because there's so many lanterns, and Earth has had so many, this is one of the ways to do it. Like I had a of my many, like, you know, ideas for things. Like I, like, if you were going to do Green Lantern, I've always said, like, you, it doesn't, it's not a property for a movie. It needs like an HBO type budget, and it needs to be this, like, a show where you can use, and you need to have a format where you can utilize all the characters and have multiple storylines and all these different things going on, a la kind of like a Game of Thrones in a certain way, but just like, you know, but in space, right? And this seems kind of like what they're doing in a lot of respects. And if you're going to start in the 40s and you're going to have, you know, if you're going to do the whole time period thing, I think that's great, because you have Alan Scott in the 40s. If they meant, and you have Guy Gardner in the 80s, if you could use the 60s and the 70s, if they wanted to do it, they can have that be when they have Hal Jordan and John Stewart, and you could also, you know, there's possibility of having, like, you know, Hal Jordan be the bad guy as Parallax in this. That'd be really cool. So there's a whole lot of possibilities for this. And like the aliens, like they probably don't age, right? Like Kilowog, you can introduce him like in any timeline, and he's an alien, right? Like we don't know the lifespan of his race. So you could kind of use him interspersedly, same thing with like some of the other aliens. So I think this is going to be interesting. This has some potential.
Yeah, it's interesting that in all of this official stuff, you know, and these aren't, you know, just like leaks or anything. This is like something that they officially blasted out to all news outlets, you know. They don't mention, I mean, for all of the Green Lanterns that they mention, the three which are missing are Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and Kyle Rayner.
Yes.
That seems odd. Is it because they're saving them for something else, or is it because there's going to be a big reveal later on?
Well, hopefully they don't do the old DC model, or the old DC model. what am I doing? The current DC model is like, oh, we're going to save that for later. And then, like, you know, it later never happens unless you get a hashtag trending. but in this case, I'm hoping that they're going to use the, it's going to be a reveal later, like you know, again, like kind of like I pitched, like if they do the timeline thing, Hal Jordan and John Stewart represent a couple of decades, Kyle Rayner's the 90s, right? Like it makes too much sense for them to do it this way, which is probably why they'll mess it up. But I'm going to be hopeful that there's some sort of plan to reveal them, because if they're not going to use all of the lanterns that we know, what are we doing with the show? Right. Like, come on. I'm eagerly anticipating to see who they cast for Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to see, especially considering with those two, you have a Muslim hero and you have a Latina hero. And she's like, you know, the major A-list iconic, you know, Latina female hero. Like, she's like, so they need to get her right. They need to get Jessica Cruz right. And then same thing with Simon Baz. You need to get both of those castings. You need to get right because their representation means a lot. So let's hope that they don't mess that up either.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, like Berlanti and Guggenheim, of course, are the creators of Arrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Always hold on to Arrow, y'all.
Yep. But at the same time, Guggenheim also wrote
Arrow's
Green Lantern. Well, he did that, and I mean that's I'll let that slide, but I won't really let the Green Lantern movie slide.
Agreed.
And he also wrote, I think, one or two of the animated Green Lantern movies, which were not very good.
No. So, did you see the show? Because that was okay.
I didn't see the show. I don't know if he had anything to do with that, but yeah, that was Jeff Johns, I think, who was doing that one.
We're not supposed to like him, though.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. He's never really been that good. I'm sorry. Okay. There have been so many times where people are like, Jeff Johns, and I'm like, Jeff Johns? Oh, let's read this. This is his thing that everyone says is good. And I'm like, nothing happens. Literally nothing happens in this comic. It's just people punching each other. I mean, there was like one thing of his where I was like, oh, you know what it was the Rebirth comic. The first that introduced the Rebirth, where I'm like, this as a story is bad. But what they're doing is kind of weird and meta and cool, so I'll give them points for that.
Interesting. Which Jeff Johns stuff that you've read that were you not like hip to?
When he relaunched Justice League. I forget like all because it's all the same, like Infinity Crisis War something, which I don't know which one is which, but I've
you're right. Those particular ones that you're mentioning, those suck, okay. Right? But there's other things that he's done that have been good. Yeah. I think to me, he's kind of hit or miss.
But yes, I'm excited for this show. This press release definitely has me more excited for the show than I had been. But I'm still a little worried about Guggenheim tackling Green Lantern yet again.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe third or fourth time's a charm. I don't know.
Maybe.
But we shall see. It'll be interesting. I don't think that it's going to tie. I mean, it's probably not going to tie into the Arrowverse, right? I think it'll probably be its own thing.
I think it's going to be its own thing because, like, you know, we're going to find out later, you know, this summer, how John Diggle fits into things because he was, you know, because, you know, there's some stuff going on there. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I guess there was one little hint in an episode that I saw, but you know, they haven't
Yeah. I caught myself before I said anything. So I just.
I said stuff. I pretty much. Yeah. Figured that out on my own. Whatever. Well, another show which may or may not take place in the Arrowverse is Naomi, which is the new show from Ava DuVernay based on the Brian Michael Bendis comic. Mm-hmm. I have not read this. It's on my Rebirth list, but it's way, way, way down there, so I probably won't get to it for years at this point.
Yeah.
But they released the first publicity still from the pilot, which it hasn't even been picked up for a series yet, but the pilot is produced. And in this still, they recreated the cover for the first issue of the comic.
Mm-hmm.
So have you read Naomi?
Yeah, the first few issues of it. Yeah. It's really neat.
Apparently, there's only six issues, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All it's really neat. And it's, you know, it's a unique, interesting story. And I think it kind of it'll lend itself well for, you know, TV and in particular like the CW. I think it's a good move to have that show there. It's very different, even though it kind of has the superhero elements into it, but like it lends itself well to being like a CW genre TV show. But I think, you know, this also has the potential to be the quality that we're getting currently with, you know, Superman and Lois. We shall see, but I'm excited for it.
I mean, looking at just that first still in the comic book thing, it looks like she's like trying to piece together like superhero stuff and try to figure out what's going on in like a bigger picture or whatever.
Yes, she's trying to figure some stuff out.
It seems like that would lend itself to like the Arrowverse where everything crosses over with everything else and everything. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Maybe.
Who knows?
You know, at the same time, it's like if you get someone like DuVernay to do the show, you kind of feel like she's just going to do her own thing and not want to be tied down to, you know, like sweeps events and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think, honestly, the way that they're kind of doing things right now on that network, if Naomi was going to cross over with anything, it would be Superman and Lois. And mostly because of what happens in the story. Because, you know, spoiler, she meets Superman. So, okay. Like, and she needs his help with something. So, I mean, like, that's the show to do it with at this point.
Okay. All
right. And especially, and it seems like, you know, Superman and Lois isn't, they have yet to do anything with the Arrowverse proper yet. Yeah. So, this could be the separator, you know.
So there's another DC show which is starting up, which I'm sure will have nothing to do with anything else. And that is Sweet Tooth, a new show which is going to be on Netflix. And I don't know anything about this property. I'm assuming it's, I mean, maybe not Vertigo, but something along the lines of Vertigo or something like that. Do you know anything about Sweet Tooth?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
Looks weird.
It looks very weird. A little interesting. It's funny because like this is produced by the Downies, right? Like, yeah. You know, so, and you know, RDJ seemed pretty excited about it on social media that he's like,
oh,
he's,
did he?
You know, yeah, he was just like, yeah, I'm really proud of this project. Hope you guys will like it. And he hasn't really said much outside of like, you know, sharing, you know, funny pictures of he and his Avengers castmates, like on their birthdays. He really hasn't said or done much on social. So,
yeah.
You know, and I get that he's, you know, he's producing this thing, but like he seemed, you know, excited about it and proud of it. So, seems like an interesting story, similar to other things that we've seen in other things before, but I'm kind of wondering what the angle here is. So might check it out.
Yeah, like there's people who are born as like hybrid animal things, yeah. And stuff like that, and yeah, we'll see. It comes out on Netflix June 4th, and I'm sure they're going to release all the episodes on that day. So. Mm-hmm. So another sci-fi project moving away from DC now, which seems kind of weird in the same vein as Sweet Tooth, is the new David Cronenberg movie. He's back. He's making another movie, and it's called Crimes of the Future, which is interesting because apparently like his first or second movie that he ever made was called Crimes of the Future, but this is not a remake of that other one.
Okay.
But this one is going to star Viggo Mortensen, of course, and Kristen Stewart and Lea Seydoux. And it takes place in the near future, and it's about a new synthetic world which is existing for whatever reason. The world is synthetic, and because of it, people are like adapting to that world, and it's causing all sorts of weird biological things. And I think Viggo Mortensen plays like a guy who is like a performance artist who is growing extra organs, and he gets up on stage and like removes the organs for people or something. It's weird. It's Cronenberg. He's a weird guy. Existenz is a weird movie. But you know, his stuff is always interesting. So
yeah, it's definitely up his alley of weirdness, but at the same time, when listening to like what this movie is about, it's like this seems more like a Burton / Spielberg thing. Like if those two had a baby, like like this seems like this would be right up that kid's alley, right?
Yeah, I mean, but then again, if you think about like Existenz or something, you know, that movie's crazy. Like there's scenes in there where they're like, the one scene that I remember is like they're like, oh, there's like weapons hidden in this like biological, like organic matter, and you've got to like eat the organic matter in order to find the weapon bones or something. I don't know. he's a crazy guy. So
is there, do you think, how many Fly references do you think are going to be in this?
I don't know. And he loves working with Vigo, right? I mean, they did a DC property. They did History of Violence,
mm-hmm,
and Eastern Promises.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they're back at it again. Well, exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Did you watch Godzilla vs. Kong?
I did.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I knew what it was going to be. So, yeah. And I got what I wanted. I got, it's them fighting, right? It's like, yeah. I got my fulfillment out of what I wanted from that movie.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, it didn't blow me away or anything, but I certainly enjoyed it. And I enjoyed Godzilla and Skull Island too. Not a huge fan of King of the Monsters. I think that movie's pretty bad.
Okay.
But, and that was like, after I saw King of the Monsters, I'm like, I think this is done. I think I'm through with this. And when the box office, you know, didn't really do anything there too, I think the world thought that this franchise was done. You know, I mean, we knew that Godzilla versus Kong was coming, and, you know, of course, Godzilla versus Kong has been a huge success.
Yes.
So now it's like, oh, I guess it's not done. I guess we are doing more. And sure enough, Adam Wingard, the director of Godzilla vs. Kong, has been hired to make the next movie, which rumor has it will be called Son of Kong. Makes sense. You know, I mean, that was the thing, whatever, but who knows what that'll be. But I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, if they're doing the Son of Kong, then that means the movie after that has to be about Godzuki. And then the movie after that has to be Son of Kong versus Godzuki.
There you go.
Yeah, this is. I mean, sure, why not? Like these. Mm-hmm. Like, I like those characters. So like, and I will. I think people understand what those, like, you know, movies are supposed to be. The audience, I think, so they're not going into it thinking that it's gonna, you know, chain cinema or be Citizen Kane, right? Yeah. I think their expectations are set at the right level for them, and they enjoy them, which is why the numbers are for those movies are the numbers for those movies, right?
Yeah.
So, and as long as those numbers continue to be those numbers, they're going to, you know, keep doing things to keep getting those results. I do think what's interesting about these is like the discourse on these movies has been very fascinating. Like, you go on, like, on social, and you see, you know, like all sorts of people talking about, like, you know, especially when it came out, like right before it came out, you know, all sorts of people you would never think would have like opinions on these things were talking about it. Like, I think the funniest one that I saw was Kevin Durant had this like 4 or 5 tweet thread about full of his opinions on the matchup between King Kong and Godzilla and who would win. It's just like people like that, like having like these like hot takey type opinions on things, I thought was really funny. So I ask you, were you Team Kong or were you Team Godzilla?
I was Team Kong. You know, I mean, I know that most people prefer Godzilla and he's the big draw and everything. And certainly I have nothing against Godzilla, but mm-hmm. Kong is a much more interesting story and a much more interesting character and everything like that. So I was certainly, I guess, rooting for him, but also hoping that we would see more Kong than Godzilla in this, just because, you know, it's the more interesting thing. And I think that's what they did in it. Mm-hmm. And it makes me happy that, you know, it sounds like this next movie is going to be a Kong movie and not a Godzilla movie, which, you know, is better to me. So, yeah, what about you? Were you Godzilla or Kong?
Fair enough. I was Team Godzilla. Okay. And like, you know, piggybacking off of what you were saying, I have nothing against King Kong. I love Kong, but I gotta be straight up with everybody. Like, Godzilla in particular, mostly because in, you know, 1993, when young me saw the Dragon Zord come up, literally up from the depths, just like Godzilla, I was like, this is the coolest thing that I've ever seen. Like basically, like, we're having like Mecha Godzilla on Power Rangers. Like, how cool is this? And so I'm Team Godzilla all the way, as you know, because of that.
Okay, all right. I think it's probably going to be a while until we actually see this movie, because Wingard is also doing the Face Off sequel, which I imagine will be first. So
okay,
yeah. So it'll still be a while, but at least we know that there is more MonsterVerse coming in the not too distant future. So yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for this week. Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can also find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. You can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage, where we talk about film projection, Star Trek, and time travel. And you can find me pretty soon on talkfilmsociety.com doing an episode of Soderbergh 2828, where we cover the Oscars in depth from the Soderbergh perspective. So more of the presentation, the Oscars as a movie, not getting into like the results or anything like that too much. So yeah, that's about it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. I'm hoping that we're going to get some Star Wars news this week with their fake Star Wars holiday, May 4th.
So oh, yeah.
At the very least, we're going to have a new TV show. So that's, I guess good enough, but I'm fingers crossed hoping that these unsubstantiated rumors are true and that they're going to drop all of Star Wars Detours on Disney Plus. That would be amazing. We'll see. Will we get the original trilogy up there as a surprise?
That'd be good.
I don't think we will, but you never know. Any announcements about new TV shows or movies? You never know, but hopefully there's something.
True. And it's funny you mentioned like the fake holiday. Like, there's May the 4th, mm-hmm. right? There's also like, the very next day or the day after, depending on which one you want to use. There's Revenge of the Sith,
yeah.
right? But there's a better one that I saw a meme of out there, and I think this is what we should do. This is the May.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
It was like May 25th is when Star Wars came out. That's Star Wars Day, right? Mm-hmm. That's when I would watch the marathons and everything. And when they started doing this May the 4th thing, my friend texted me and he's like, why is everybody saying today's Star Wars Day? I thought it was released on May 25th. And I'm like, no, May the 4th be with you. And he's like, oh, well, that's dumb. May the 25th be with you. And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
This is the May.
There you go. Regardless, at least we'll have the Bad Batch, at the very
that's
least.
True.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're going to be bummed if we only get a new Star Wars show on May the
4th. Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, what a time to be alive.
Indeed.
All right, well, until then, this is the May.
Indeed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.